last week I was not here. I wasn't playing hooky. I was hanging out in California, up in San Francisco with my daughter Joy and her husband Eric. And it's been a process to get to know all my son-in-laws because they don't live with my house and stuff, and especially Eric and Joy. So I really look forward to these times when I get to, so once a year I go out there. And we walk up and down hills because it's San Francisco, up the hill, down the hill, up the hill, down the hill, and we eat. And then you up the hill, down the hill, up the hill. So I never gain weight, and it's fun. It's a lot of exercise there. So we were talking about childhood stories. Actually, Joy and I started talking, remember, when she was in high school, and then Eric started telling a story. So I'm going to tell you Eric's story because there is a punchline to it on where we're launching our new series called The Gold. So if you've got your notebooks, you're going to write this. The series is called The Gold. So Eric was telling me about one of his best buddies, and the funny part about Eric is he's got a dozen best buddies. This is the guy that just keeps friends. He's so adorable. So Eric's telling him about his best buddy in sixth grade. His name was Billy. And Billy kind of had a feud going with this other kid, Joey. And it just, Joey kind of had issues in life, and he was just always picking fights. And Billy and Joey, it was like once a week, they were in a fight. Once a week, they're getting thrown down to the principal's office. So I said, Eric, you sure this is not you? No, Dee, this is my friends. So he's telling this story about this two friends here, and they're in sixth grade, and they also have a teacher. He's like one of those all-American football players who's now a teacher, and he's this big guy, and he's quite intimidating, especially in sixth grade. So one day, the class comes in, and they're all getting quiet, except for Joey. He is just, he just came in with a bad mood, and he starts mouthing off to this teacher, the big teacher, the all-pro football teacher. And the teacher looks at Billy, and he says, Billy, take him down. And Billy said, now? He said, take him down. Now, you have to understand, this is this wouldn't happen nowadays, would it, Leslie? but it was a private school, okay? And so Billy goes now, and he says yes. So he jumps up, throws the guy, starts punching. And, of course, I know every little kid sits there, and they're just praying. No, get him, slam him, bonk him, you know. So that's just the end of that part of the story. Now, move the story. It's 3 years later, and Billy is going for his first job. But it makes him what? Ninth grade. And he goes in, he has this interview at a fast food store or something. I don't remember what Eric said it was. And he gets hired on the spot by the assistant manager. Gets hired on the spot, goes home, comes back 3 days with his uniform. He's starting the first day of work. And he looks at the manager and he reads the name tag. And he goes, oh, I think I know that last name. And the manager says, excuse me, Billy, did you go to such and such school in sixth grade? He goes, oh, yes, sir. I went to that school. And he says, did you know a boy by the name of Joey blank blank? I don't know what his last name is. He goes, oh, yes, he was just an incredible, wonderful person. He goes, yeah, Billy, I know all about you. So this kid, Billy, has this job for the next 3 years, and he says, oh, my goodness. Every time I asked for a day off, I never got it. I worked every holiday. This guy rode me. He was just tough on me. So the moral of the story is, what you do today will come back and bite you or bless you. Write that down. It's a good one for your kids. Okay, obviously it was biting Billy, right? What he did today, tomorrow was biting him. So we're going to talk about today and how we live. We're going to talk about how we live today. We're going to talk about how we live our life today. And because we just finished up with the Olympics, and by the way, I just love watching the Olympics. If I could figure out how to DVR all the things, I would have DVR'd the whole shabam. Okay, so we're going to talk about Olympics, and more so because the Bible talks about that every one of you are called to a race. You're actually going to have a spiritual Olympics in your life. You are called to that. Everybody, all right? And there's training in our spiritual Olympics. And we're going to talk about that the next 4 weeks in our series called The Gold. But today, this one's called Living to Win. Today, we're going to talk about living to win. Now, how many of you watched the opening ceremony? It was the Friday night opening ceremony. Oh my gosh, Brazil, just top notch. They just did a top-notch job on this opening ceremony. And I love the part, I always cry, is when all the nations start walking in. You know, they carry the flags and they walk in. Okay, I can do this, I can do this, I always do this. And I realize, oh my gosh, I forgot how many nations they are. That's what happens when you live in York County. You know, it's us four, no more. So you watch, really, really a mentality. So you watch, and it takes forever, it feels like, for all these nations to start walk in, right? And then the United States comes in, and they had the largest delegation in history of the United States Olympics. We sent the largest group over ever in our history. So you know when they walk with the flag, I cry with the American flag. I do. Ask my kids the national anthem. I'm sobbing. Okay, so I'll get it together. I can do this. I can do this. But. So I thought it was really cool, absolutely cool. Every night I'd run downstairs and I'd watch at least an hour. And then I'd fall asleep for the second hour. I just watched, and I didn't care what they were. But really, if you'd ask me what my favorites are, I love the men and women swimming, love the diving. Gosh, because you'd never get me on top of those things, diving. And then track. Track fascinates me. Just incredible to watch these. Now, you know what's so amazing about those Olympic competitors? Some of them are 15 years old. 16 years old, 17, and they are competing in the Olympics. Blow your circuits, all right? And the thing that blows your circuit is some of them have trained for that Olympic over half their life, because they started 2 and 3 years old to train for the Olympics. Okay, so why am I saying all that? You and I are living our Christian life. The life that we live every day, you get up out of bed, you do your stuff, and you go to work, and you have your family, and you do this and that. We are living our life. We're Christians. We're living our life. And God says that we're all in a race. Tell your neighbor you're in a race. You are in a race, okay? He says you're in a race. And actually, we need to train spiritually for this race, this walk, this journey, whatever you want to call it. We need to be in training for it. All right, so we're going to get in training. I'm going to give you some training today. All right, praise the Lord. Now, the big idea I want you to walk out of here when you just want, you know, so when my physical therapist says, you know, what's your homily? I always tell her, well, this is the big idea. This is the big thing I want you to know. Of course, I tell her, you know, oh, it's for everybody else. But the big idea I want you to know is today impacts tomorrow. Write that down. Today impacts tomorrow. I just want you to walk out of here with your head all week going, oh my gosh, Pastor D said that. Today impacts tomorrow. Tomorrow when you wake up, today impacts tomorrow. That's the thing I want you to get. And really, today could either bite you like Billy tomorrow, or it can bless you. So today is really important how we live our life. We want to live to win. Okay, so what is today? Today's today. Brilliant, Pastor D. Ta-da! I don't even need to hang my diploma on the wall. Today is today. Tomorrow when you wake up, guess what it is? Today! Friday when you wake up, guess what it is? Today! All right, so what's tomorrow? Whoa. Okay, what's tomorrow? Tomorrow could be next month. You know, down in advance. That's tomorrow. But for our lesson today, when I say the word tomorrow, tomorrow has to do when I cross the finish line of my race. Tomorrow is when you cross the finish line of your race that God has called you to. All right? That's what we're going to talk about today, tomorrow. Okay? I'll confuse myself. All right. Tomorrow. Okay. Now, the amazing thing is, okay, so think about this. When do we get to tomorrow? When you leave this earth and you go on to be in heaven. That's when tomorrow begins, okay? So when does tomorrow start? When you die. When you cross over to heaven, that's when, bam, That's what we're talking about today. That's when tomorrow starts. So everybody with me? Nobody got tomorrow today. Lost on that one. Okay. All right. So the really amazing thing about all of that is God has a lot to say about tomorrow. God has a lot to say about heaven. God has a lot to say about eternity. So I think we should know it. All right. He has a lot to say about it. And he also, what he says is, God says, when he talks about tomorrow, when he talks about eternity, he says he will bless you when you get to tomorrow. There are rewards when you get to tomorrow. There are treasures for you when you get to tomorrow. Really, Pastor D? There are. Yeah. Okay. So if when I get to eternity, there's treasures, I want you guys to be filthy rich when you get there. Yes! I want you to have piles, okay? So that's my heart. That's also God's heart, all right? So today, I want to start right now, and we're going to start looking at the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul, in case you didn't know it, was like the most important person in the New Testament, aside from Jesus, okay? Apostle Paul was the most important person in the New Testament. He wrote 3/4 of it, right? You ever hear that? And God had commissioned him to write. He didn't write it. God inspired him to write 3/4 of the New Testament. Sometimes you'll hear the word the Pauline revelations. Anybody ever hear that before? The Pauline revelations? Oh, you didn't know Pastor Jack then. My gosh, that was his middle name. Pauline revelations, okay? He did that. And basically when God gave him revelation that had never been before been opened up. God gave Paul a revelations that had never been before opened up, and he was commissioned to write this, to share this, to live this, such as a new creature. That was like mind-blowing, brand new. Who lives inside you? Who you are in Christ? That was the Pauline revelations. That was new. That was new, okay? The grace of God, that was totally new. So these are some of the revelations that God gave the Apostle Paul. And so he was pretty outstanding, wasn't he? Now, with this, Paul talks a lot in several places, really about a dozen scriptures, that we are in a race, we are running a race, and we are supposed to run the race and win it. Everybody say win. I like winning, all right? So the Apostle Paul, we're going to go read some scriptures that we are all in a race. We are to run the race and win the race, all right? So would you open up to Philippians 3? Philippians 3:13. Now, usually I freeze you out like ice cubes. Today it is stinking hot in here. My God. I hope you're all happy. I'm ready to stand over here and put my podium. I'm like, oh my gosh. So if you're hot, just kick Brenton out of the seat and sit over there. Woo. We got here this morning, and there was a glitch. The thing wasn't turned on, and, you know, whatever. So you all are smiling. Pastor D, it's so delightful. Oh, it's so nice. It's hot in here. Oh, glory, glory. All right, everybody at Philippians 3:13, say praise God. All right, I am too. Praise God. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the Apostle Paul. He's writing this. Dear brothers and sisters. So he's writing to who? Christians. Okay? Dear Christian brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Now, when he wrote, I have not achieved it, it means he has not achieved spiritual maturity. Okay, side rabbit trail. So I was talking to this person last week, and they said, oh, well, I already know all that stuff. They thought they had spiritual maturity. Okay? Well, believe me, I don't think I know anything some days. All right, so here's Paul saying, I have not achieved yet spiritual maturity, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. Now, stop and think. Here is the Apostle Paul, the most brilliant and given such revelation, all right, except for Jesus. And he said, I haven't yet reached spiritual maturity. I thought, where am I? Oh my gosh. I think I'm in preschool then, all right? And then he says, I focus on this one thing. You see that? But I focus on this one thing. Okay, if Paul is going to focus on one thing, this is the guy that God gave him revelations about the grace of God, new creation realities. If Paul is going to focus on this one thing, ta-da, I think it's important. Okay, so this is important. Okay, this, and he's saying, this one thing is important to my spiritual walk. So I think it's probably important to me and you. All right, all right. So jumping down to, okay, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. So what is he going to focus on? Verse 14, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Okay, so Paul is saying, the most important thing in my spiritual walk is this race. This race that I am on, that I'm going to finish, so I can receive what? The prize. Okay, think about Olympics. What are they? What's the prize they train for? The gold. Okay, so here's the Apostle Paul saying the most important thing to him. The most important thing to him, all right, is the race that he's called to run so he can receive the prize. Amazing, amazing. So if it's that important to Paul, guess it should be important to you and me. Yeah, it should be the most important thing. All right, so verse 14. Well, you know when it says, I press on to reach the end of the race, receive the heavenly prize for which God is through Christ Jesus calling us. Press on. Press on is, in the Greek, it paints this picture. Rather than me fumbling over the word, let me just tell you what it means. Press on. Let's pretend that's the 100-meter dash, and all these athletes are running. On your mark, get set, go. And they start running. The last 20 yards, do you ever watch the last 20 yards, 10 yards? You see them pressing, and they've got these big, long strides. Their noses is out farther. You know, they just stretch, okay? They press. They press on to what? Finish the race. Press on to finish the race. So this is what Paul is saying. I live my life. I run, and I run hard to run my race, to finish it, and to receive the treasures. Amen. Okay, you see that? I can just all see you guys. Snapshot. All right. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's the mentality. So Paul talks over and over about the reward, the prize, that you're supposed to receive all through the Pauline epistles. Okay. Now, let me say this up front before we go anywhere. You and I go to heaven surely by the grace of God. For by grace you are saved, not of yourself, all right? Okay? It's not any, you don't go to heaven for anything you've ever done. Because some of us, we don't even have a pile of good stuff, right? You know? Okay, so you can't work your way. You can't earn your way. You simply enter heaven by placing your faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the work that he did on the cross and went to hell, died and suffered and rose again. That, okay, and that is where you get in. If you've done that, you get in. If you have believed that, you get in. Look at your neighbor and said, I'm in. Okay. If you're in, tell your neighbor, I'm in. All right. If you don't know, I'm going to pray for you at the end. I do. So the Bible teaches us now, let me take you another parallel trail here, okay? The Bible teaches us that some have more blessings they're going to receive in heaven than others. Okay, Jesus said it. He said, there are some that are first here on their walk, their journey, there are some that are first here that are going to be last there, heaven. Okay, and then it says there are some that are last here that when they get to heaven, they're going to be first. Cool. So when I said some have more blessings than others, rewards than others. Okay, now, so what's he talking about? Christians. The Christian who might be first here, they're breathing and living on the earth, okay? They live in York County, they're first here. That could be a person that's filthy rich. They got every single toy in the garage, in the basement, every gadget. Okay, that could be that, or it could be somebody who's like great authority. He has great authority. Great authority. They're the CEOs, or they're the Rockefellers. Okay, they made the who's who list. It could be that. All right. So here's what he's saying: there are some folks here whose status is like top of the pile, and when they finally die and go to heaven, go on to eternity, because they have not run a good race, they're going to be last. Anybody think that's fair?
Right.
I do. Okay, so I've decided I don't want to be last up there. I don't want to be last. I've decided that. And the other thing is that's so amazing is you down here you can be first, and up there you can be first. What are you talking about, Pastor D? Yeah, think about it. Okay, it's how you run your race. All right, so what about the bunch that's here today and they're last? You know, those are the people that they don't have riches. They better yet, they don't have a big status in life. They're not the big cheese, the big dog, the big wealthy person. They might not have a lot of, possessions. You can paint a picture yourself, okay? So you have some people here now that are Christians that are living their life, okay? And to you, they look like they're last. But Jesus says, they will be first when they reach heaven, okay? And it's all determined by how you run your race. It's all determined by how you run your race. And guys, we have a race to run. So turn over to 1 Corinthians 9:24. This is kind of be our, what do you call, this is your memory verse for the month. This goes on the refrigerator in the mirror. I used to love giving memory verses to kids. I love it. Because I got the word stuffed in me that way. All right, so this is your verse, our text for the whole series. 1 Corinthians 9:24. In a race, everyone runs. Everybody say everyone. Everyone. That's y'all, okay? In a race, everybody runs. Everybody runs, but only one person gets first prize. So run your race to win. You got to say that with gusto. Come on, say it. Let's ready? So run your race to win. Okay, I used to think I was not a competitive person. And then I went bowling with Nevin's mom. Found out this thing, comes out of me. And I'm a terrible bowler. Didn't do much here, okay. But I want to win. All right, I want to win in natural things. And this is spiritual things, guys. This is how you live your life for the Lord. All right, so anybody run track back in high school or college? Oh, God bless y'all. You're all skinny back then, too, Okay. Cassie's my only athlete in the family. Cassie's the only one that I was going to say, we in our heart were athletic, but Cassie actually demonstrated it. She signed up for track in ninth grade. It was probably because there was some cute guy on the team. All right? So I pick her up after practice at the middle school, and I had that big green minivan. And it's not the automatic kind. You had to rip, your shoulder dislocated when you'd open it and close it. Right? Anybody have one of those? We had two of those, different colors, okay? So I pick her up, and she literally fell in on the floor. And I go, your butt and your legs are hanging out. The front, you're in here. We were training today. She was in pain. I said, come on, Cass, you got to get the legs in the car. And but listen. All right. If you've ever been in a race, you have to train. You have to train. And Paul says you're in a race, right? That was our key scripture, your memory verse. You're in a race, so you have to train. Now, those competitors for the Olympics, they're like genetic weirdos. Like, God made them just crazy, all of them, especially those track guys. They're just incredible. Those gymnastic girls, they're just like, they're, okay. But really, even though they're, God made them like that, okay, they're just incredible. Listen, they have to sacrifice to train. Right? They have to sacrifice to train. They do all kinds of different training routines, and they train. I actually did a little research on this one person. We'll talk later on. 6 hours in one day in the main season. 6 hours in one day. Can you imagine running track and doing exercise 6 hours? Holy Toledo. Off season, 2 hours. Okay? So can you imagine if they only trained once a week? For the Olympics. Okay, so I have a funny story. Years ago, Jack and I went out to California to visit my relatives, and my cousin John, see, I knew this. Jack didn't know this. It was a superstar tennis player, and Jack, in his mind, in high school, was a superstar tennis player. He did play tennis in high school, and he was pretty good. But so I'm introducing to my cousin Johnny, and they're talking about what they have in common, and they said, hey, let's, you know, do you play tennis? Yeah, let's play tennis. And I'm thinking, oh, God. So my cousin Johnny just smeared him. Like, Jack just scored zeros. It was humiliating. I finally went to the car and just like this. And to come to find out, now they're both the same age at that time. They had been out of college for a couple years. But my cousin John still played tennis 5 times a week. You know, the training thing. And Jack, he picked up a racket twice a summer. Okay. It doesn't end well if you don't train, right? It doesn't end well. It doesn't end well if you don't train for your race. Okay. So we're going to talk about training. All righty. So the Bible says run your race to win. And so today I want to help you get ready so you can win your race. This is what this is all about. How to get ready to train so you can win your race. Because I'm competitive, so are you. I want to win. I want to win. Hallelujah. So if you're taking notes, write this down. People ask me, well, Pastor Dee, what's my race? Here it is. Ready? Write this down. Our race is to love and live for Jesus. The gospel is really simple. It really is. We just make it complicated. But write that down. Our race, everybody's race is to love Jesus and to live for Jesus. All right? Now, Lane over here, God has different calls and gifts, and he runs different race than I run. Because he's not me, and I'm not him. Praise God. All right? But we are all called to the race, and the way you run your race is to love Jesus. All right? So what do you mean to love Jesus? Okay, well, the Bible says, Jesus says it in Matthew and Luke. He says, to love God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, with your whole mind, and I always add, with your whole body, with your whole everything. You are to love God. Okay, what's that mean? Just love him like he's number one. Better yet, he is first place in your life. You love him like he is first place in your life. That's how you run your race. You love him like he's first place in your life. He's the most important thing. Now, can I tell you something? Sometimes that's tough for me. Pastor D, no, it's not that I don't love Jesus. Guys, I love Jesus. But it's tough to keep him first in my life. Anybody have some problems keeping him first? It's called the distractions of life, the pride of life, and the deceitfulness of riches. It's tough to keep him first place in my life because, you know why? There's a whole lot of good things. I'm not even talking about bad things. I'm finally getting over the bad things, and I have piles of good things in my life, like fun things that I like to do, the good things I like to do, hobbies. Yours could be fishing, hunting, gardening, hanging out, friends. You have a whole bunch of good things in your life, but they will keep you from finishing your race because you have to love God first. How many know people that are off? They're not even on the track anymore. They've gotten knocked off And it doesn't happen, you know, bam, in your face. It's just these little things in life that fill your life. They're good things, some of us. Some of them are good things that fill your life. And next thing you know, Jesus is not first in my life, okay? So you need to keep him first in your life. Love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, okay? So everybody say, I love Jesus. He is first in my life. Some of you can say, starting now, okay? All right, no, don't say anything. Okay, the other part of the race, the first one says is to love Jesus. The second one is to live for Jesus. Live for God, all right? Well, what does that mean? Jesus is so important in my life that I am going to help promote him wherever I go. It's like physical therapy. Like, I never thought I'd be promoting Jesus in a situation like that. And I'm like, whoa. I'm living for Jesus down here. So I'm ready when she gets there. So anyway, really simple. It could be serving in church. And by the way, I love when you serve in church. You need to serve in church. You get to meet people. All right? You get to help Pastor D, but you get to meet people and be a blessing to people. That's one way you can live for Jesus, all right? Living and helping other ministries outside of church. That's part of living for Jesus. And really the simple thing I can tell you, the simple thing is that you just say, Lord Jesus, I am yours. I am available to and say and go wherever you want. That's what I start my morning. I'm here, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Send me wherever you want. I want to live for you. Okay? So, praise the Lord. And again, we all have a race, but your race is different than your race. But you have a race. And we are called to finish the race and win the race. Amen. All righty. Now, the Bible talks about that we're going to leave the service, cross the finish line, and there's going to be rewards. I love Christmas. That's like reward heaven underneath the tree, right? Okay, but the Bible talks about we're in a race. You're supposed to finish the race. When you finish the race, there's supposed to be rewards. Everybody say rewards. I love rewards, okay? Just like the Olympics, when they finish, their purpose is to finish the race and get the reward. Not hard. Finish the race and get the reward. Some of them train like crazy. Finish the race and get the reward. So, let me give you a scripture. Turn over to Revelation 22. Okay, Revelation 22. I want to talk about receiving rewards. Hallelujah. The gold. Praise God. Revelation 22. Say yay when you get there. Okay. Now it's verse 12. I forgot to tell you that. Revelation 22, verse 12. First one I'm going to read out of the NIV, and then I'm going to slap the Message Bible in because it just blows it up really clear. Revelation 22, verse 12 says, Look, I, Jesus, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person. He's referring to Christians. All right? I will give to each person according to what they've done. There are rewards according to how you've walked your race in this earth. All right? Now, Message Bible. Just love it. Here we go. Message Bible. Yes, I'm on my way. That's Jesus. Yes, I'm on my way. I'll be there soon. Okay, soon is God soon. All right? I'm bringing my payroll with me, and I'll pay all those people in full for their life's work. He's whipping out his checkbook, baby, right? Can you see that? He's going to give you rewards. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, and really, you run your race hard, and he's saying, and then I'm going to reward you. You run your race hard, and I'm going to reward you. And here are your rewards. They're blessings and treasures for eternity, where moth and rust can't get them. All right, that's cool. That's the love and the heart of Jesus. Praise the Lord. All right, now, again, I've had a hard time doing this because I have to make a decision to love Jesus with everything in me. I mean, I love him, but I get a little off course. So there's times I have to pull back and readjust. Anybody have to readjust your life? Yeah. All right? And I have to live for him, and I have to readjust because all of a sudden, and I don't care if you're a pastor or and by the way, I met this guy at the physical therapy. I met a garbage man. a real garbage man, okay? I don't care if you're the garbage man. You know, you have to readjust your Christian life to love and serve and live for the Lord. Doesn't matter who you are, all right? So Jesus talks about there's coming a day that you all will stand before him, and it's going to be an incredible day, guys. It is going to be, woo, okay, incredible. It's going to be incredible. It's not to, now, that day isn't determined, like, whether you're getting in, because you already know you're in if you've placed your faith in Jesus, right? Say, I'm in. All right, I know. Well, and if not, I'm going to pray with you, and you can be in. But really, this is going to be a incredible day. And there are rewards. So let's talk about rewards. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:9. Let's talk about rewards. I love rewards. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter, oh, chapter 5. Sorry, dyslexia. Reverse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. All right. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away, all right? For we must all be appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things we've done while in the body, whether good or bad. Okay, so here's what Paul's saying. It don't matter what your status is in life. Okay, it doesn't matter if you're the CEO or the stay-home mom or you're flipping burgers. It don't matter, right? It says there's coming a day when you're going to stand before the Lord, right? And you will be judged. This is a happy thing. You're going to be judged, right? And you're going to receive rewards on how you lived your life. How you lived your life. So, do you see the word judgment there? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, okay. When Paul wrote this, he wrote to people that lived where this judgment seat, it's called Bema, B-E-M-A, or Bema, B-E-M-A in the Greek, all right? And they, when it said judgment seat, they knew that word, especially the Olympians, and they had it way back then, okay? That was a place that you walked, stepped up to, and stood on. Okay, you walked up to the Bema seat and you stood on it, and the one who finished first would receive the reward. Okay, so when Paul's writing to these Greeks, they're like, ha, I know exactly what Jesus is going to do. I get it. There's going to come a judgment seat. And usually when you say judgment, the judgment seat of God, you know, you're freaking out. Golly gee whiz. Beep. Okay, you kind of panic because of that word. But no, this is a good word. You step up to that stand and you receive your reward. All right, that's what Jesus was going to do for us. Hallelujah. Now, here's the deal. Someday when I stand there, and I was thinking about this and I wept. Someday I'm going to walk up to the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, and he's going to look me in the eye. And he's going to go, good job, girl. That's what I'm believing. You did good. You weren't perfect. A little jersey going sometimes, okay? But you gave 100%. Good job. You lived for me. You look at those eyes of fire. Whew. Hallelujah. Okay, I gotta sniff my mascara here. Whew. Praise the Lord. So listen, every one of you are gonna stand and be judged. Hallelujah, for how he created you. Thank God you are not me. Some of you are saying that. You better believe it. But he created you wonderfully and beautifully to run your race. And I don't have to know what your race is. Some of you I can figure it out. I've known you for a while. But you are created to run a race for the kingdom of God. Okay? And I want to hear, like I'm going to get up to heaven with you guys, and there's my gang over here. I want to hear Jesus go, good job. And I'm like, yeah, I know those guys. Good job. Okay? And listen, I don't want you to get up there and say, well, Pastor D didn't teach me nothing. And start making excuses. Okay. And you know, listen, the Bible teaches that once you know something, you are now responsible. I don't know where the exact verse is, but that's the paraphrased Cashman version. Once you know something, so you know something now. So you might as well just get ready. You know that you are in a race. And you are to win and finish that race, right, for the gold. And there's rewards for us. So, all right. That was verses 9 and 10. Verse 11, I'm just going to give you my Cashman paraphrase. Paul goes and he says, he always had this urgency that everyone he met, he wanted to make sure they were ready. Like, if he met you for the first time, his brain's going, oh my gosh, this is Kurt. I want to make sure he's ready for eternity. How many of you get up and look at people like that? I don't. I'm getting there, all right? You should look at people and go, man. That's the thing that drives this buggy back, Grandma. She's not here. We can talk about her. Okay. She is like the fanatic, make sure you get saved. And I think it's because she looks at everybody and she sees the urgency of eternity. Right? One, will they be there? Two, will they have rewards? Okay? All right? So, God, Father God, that is my heart. To look at everyone, to be the passionate like Paul, to see the urgency. Are they ready for eternity? Okay, moving on a happy note. Here we go. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about getting ready for when you cross over. Okay, we're going to talk about how to train. We're going to talk about some of the things that you trip over. So we're going to learn how not to trip over them. Okay. I'm going to finish up with last scripture. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. Okay, that's, and then we're going to read 9:24, and then we're going to read the rest of them, okay? Here we go. Come on, this is our memory verse. In a race, everybody runs, but only one person runs first, so run your race to win. Verse 25. To win the contest, you must deny yourself. What? You must deny yourself many things that would keep you from doing your best. As an athlete goes to all this trouble just to win a blue ribbon or a silver cup or a gold medal, we do it for the heavenly reward that never disappears. Praise God. So what do you mean deny yourself? Again, you know, I can play, watch a lot of TV. Don't look at me over here, okay? And I have to say no to stuff. I have to say no to stuff. And anybody will ask me, Pastor, do you want to come over Saturday night? No. I do, but no. Because I'm preparing. I've got my head in the game. I am reading over scriptures over and over and over, and I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, okay? So but it would be good to go to your house. Can I come to your house for dinner? Okay, it's good to come to your house for dinner, but I have to say no to some good things, all right? I have to deny myself. And there's bad things I know I have to deny myself, but there's good things you have to deny yourself because they'll be the things that will keep you from finishing, all right? Praise God. All right, so let's read verse 25 again. To win the contest, you must deny yourself many things that would keep you from doing your best. An athlete goes to all this trouble just to win, I'm going to say, the gold. But we do it for a heavenly reward that never disappears. Verse 26, so I run straight to the goal, all right, with purpose. In every step, I fight to win. I'm not just shadow boxing or playing around like the athlete. I push my body, treating it roughly, training to do what it should, not what it wants to, right? Okay, otherwise I fear, this is Paul, listen, Paul's heart. Otherwise, Paul fears that after enlisting others, he got all you guys enlisted in the race. He says, I myself might be declared unfit in order to stand aside. Like, get off of the Bema stand, right? So listen, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was saying, it's good to train, guys. It's good to have a routine. get up in the morning. What's your routine? Get up in the morning, coffee in, spend time with Jesus, right? It's good to have that so that you can train, so you can finish. And he was concerned that for us, that you've got to do these things so that you can finish. All right, I'm going to give you one more scripture that Paul says this. 1 Timothy 4:8. Just one more thing that Paul says concerning this. Exercise daily. Gosh, in the natural. All right, yeah, right. Exercise daily, no spiritual flabbiness, please. Okay, so that means you can be spiritual. I'm so spiritual, but flabby, not in good shape. And there's a lot of people that, I'm so spiritual, but really, maybe they're flabby, okay? Workout in the gymnasium are useful, but disciplined life in God is far more, making you fit both for today and forever. And you can count on this. Take it heart. All right. How many of you watched the track? How many of you watched Usain Bolt? Is that how you say his first name? Usain. Crazy. Did you see this guy? He's from Jamaica. All right. So that was when I was hooked. I was watching this guy. Also, because we have some missionaries, Bob and Mary. So when Jamaica comes, I'm like, I text Mary. Look. So Jamaica's just cool. So this is this guy, Usain Bolt. And he is going to run the 100-meter dash. He's going to run the 100-meter dash. This is his third Olympics. Or is it fourth? Third Olympics to run this event. And he has already won the gold in all those other ones. Okay? So he's running it, and he runs this dash in 9.81 seconds. He runs the 100-meter dash in 9.81 seconds. And actually, in another racing event, you know, at Nationals or something like that, he actually ran it faster. But he ran this event with all these guys, and we had a cool guy from the U.S. there was just right behind him, and this guy from Canada, it was just so cool. And he runs this, and he wins the gold. He wins the gold. Now, you have to understand this. Typically, he's not the typical track guy. You know why? He's a giant. How tall was he? 6 foot something? Yeah, he's tall. Typically, that's not good. Because you got to get down on your mark, and they don't say get, set, go. I was like, are you kidding me? They just go, mark, go. And he's got to get that 6 foot body off and going. And he's usually late on the start. He was, compared to those little guys that are 5'8", all right? But man, he was just like, first he's kind of slow. He's like lagging behind. And then he gets to like the 20 yard. And he is just, he just buzzed past everybody. It was so cool. He made it look easy. He was that far ahead of them. He's just like, nah. I was like, whoa. All right. So, you know, I'm loving it. I'm just telling my fun stories. But I wanted to tell you about this guy. Again, he trains 6 hours a day. He has special diet. He eats ackee. Ackee is Jamaican salt cod, or that's that fruit thing. Oh, my gosh. Looks like brains. Scrambled eggs, and he's salt cod. He has a special diet. God bless him. Okay, he has a special diet. He trains. He trains all these crazy routines. He does leg raises, side sweeps, reverse crunches, side planks, clams. He just goes all out. He does all different types of training, his diet. But, of course, he's Jamaican, so guess what time training starts? 10 a.m. They don't get up early. Yeah, Jamaica's great. So, but then he trains 6 hours, so it doesn't matter. You know, the Americans, they're there at 5 o'clock in the morning, but those Jamaicans, we started, no problem, man. 10 o'clock, we're there. Okay, I thought, but listen, you and I don't have to train for our spiritual walk 6 hours a day. You don't even have to train 2 hours a day, guys, for your spiritual Olympic race, okay? But what if we had that same mentality? What if we said, I am today I'm going to get up and I'm training. Today I'm getting into my training. Oh, man, I'm going to be there at 10 a.m., okay? What if we thought that? What if we lived our life like that, okay? So I want to close one more scripture, 1 Corinthians 10. Praise God. Man, just think, you get up and you go, I'm training for my race so I can win first. Yeah. All right, 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, I'm just going to give you the background, verses 1 through 5. This is a story about the children of Israel. They have been delivered from Egypt. Glory, hallelujah. They've been delivered, okay? And it says, every single one of those children of Israel, every single one of them had walked through the Red Sea. Every single one of them had eaten manna. Every single one of them had the cloud by day, the fire by night, that supernatural thing. And it says every single one of them drank from the rock. And the Bible says the rock is Jesus. Okay, but we won't get into that. It says every single one of them. And yet it says, and God was not pleased with that. Okay, now I want to start saying this. That's old covenant. And God treated them God interacted with them totally different than the way he interacts with us, because we live in the new, right? We live in the new covenant. So let me read verse 6. Here we go. Now these are things occurred as examples to keep us. Am I in the right one? Yep, okay. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us, Christians, okay, believers, from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. He's going to list the evil things. And we're going to talk about them in the next 3 weeks, all right? In verse 7, do not be idle. You know why he says this? Look back up. These are written for examples. So he's saying, hey, you don't have to go through the school of hard knocks. I'm writing this for you so you don't have to do that. All right? Isn't that so nice? He writes this so we don't have to go through all that. All right. So verse 7, do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it were written, the people sat down to eat and drink and they got up and indulged in revelry. Now listen, I'm probably pretty sure that every Christian in here, you are not going to go bow down and to worship some idol, right? That's off quiet. Yeah, Pastor D, what are you, nuts? Not doing that, right? Okay, but listen, the Bible says anything you put before God, anything that holds first place in your life before God, over God, is a idol, okay? And the thing about it is, it's going to take you out of your race, all right? So that's why we don't have idols, okay? So that's why you have to constantly readjust your life. You just kind of readjust it, you're like, whoops. Man, this thing's kind of over where God should be, all right? So we readjust it, okay? Because listen, if it's going to pull me out of my race, guess what? It's going to pull you out of your race. So we readjust. We don't want to have idols, all right? Verses 8, 9, and 10. We should not commit sexual immoral. What's that word? Thank you. As some of them did, and in one day, 23,000 of them died. Woo! Okay? We should not test Christ. Has anybody tested Jesus? Yep. Okay. Okay, as some of them did, and they were killed by snakes. And do not grumble. Anybody grumble? Gosh, I'm working on that. As some of them did, and they were all killed. Oh, my gosh, and they were killed and destroyed by the destroying angel. Oh, my goodness. Okay, listen. Those are hurdles that will knock you out of your race. And we're going to talk about them, okay? And just so we know how to train and get over them in the next couple weeks. Okay, let's read verse 11. These things happen to them as examples and are written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the age has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful you don't fall. If you think you know all this stuff, be careful you don't fall. If you think, oh, I've mastered that, that doesn't bother me anymore, I don't have a problem with that, he's saying, be careful, all right? Just nice. Be careful. All right. I'm pretty sure Paul had to keep an eye on things, right? So that's what he's telling us. Then he goes on to say, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. So I love when someone says, oh, I'm the only one that's going through this. No, somewhere on the planet, somebody else is going through it. To some extent or not, there's probably a whole bunch. Okay. So stop whining, all right? No temptation has overtaken you except for common to mankind. And by the way, Jesus was tempted in every area, and he overcomes, so you don't have to sweat. You just go, Lord Jesus, God, I need you, all right? Praise the Lord, all right. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out that you can endure it. All right. Praise the Lord. Let me get you on the page. If you've missed the last 2 weeks that I was preaching on, we talked about escape and we were talking about temptation. And you all know now, God can't be tempted by evil and he doesn't tempt anybody with evil. All right. And there's a lot of goofy people that say, Pastor D, be nice, Pastor D. There's a lot of people that just say, well, God's doing this to me. Listen, if it's bad, it's evil, it's not God. Right? So number one, we're all on the same page. God never tempts anybody with evil, but he will test you. Boy, deer in the headlight. All right? That's found in James, okay? Okay, how does God test a Christian? How does God test a Christian? He'll ask you to do something that he wants you to obey, all right? He will give you, he'll ask you to do something so you will obey and do it. That's the only test he does. He just tells you, and he doesn't ask you to do bad things. He will test you by asking you to do some things, and he wants to see if you're going to obey him. Abraham, right? Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac up on the hill, mount, all right? That was a test. And he obeyed. And it was great ending, right? So he'll give us tests. And the tests are, by the way, you should go listen online. They're free. There's two I did on the escape. The test is so you can get to the next class. So let's go up higher. All right. So it's good to have tests. Okay. Praise the Lord. Tests. Everybody say test. Tests. So they go, I love tests. Man, I used to cheat. Praise God. I didn't know Jesus. And I know Jesus now. All right. Now listen, the devil, we have a devil, we live on a cursed earth, we got crazy neighbors, they're going to tempt you and test you, okay? Bad stuff, but God doesn't test bad stuff, right? Alrighty? All right? But listen, he has allowed us to live in a fallen world. It's cursed earth, it's fallen. He's allowed us to live here. He decided to create you and put you on this planet. He's allowed you, okay? Now, so therefore, you need to overcome. You need to overcome. And you overcome when you have resistance. Now, let's just pretend I was really into exercising. We're going to do this, all right? And I'm doing airlifts. Imaginary, all right? And what's going to happen? This, nothing. You need some resistance. You need the real weights, right? The real weights make spiritual muscle. So don't complain about the test. By the way, you know what happened when they complained. All right? So you need resistance. I don't really want it, but I need that. And when you endure, whoa, you're going to go overcome. All right? Praise God. I love the gym. All right. Now, when I was a young Christian, way back in the day, now I'm just old and all that stuff, okay. I would keep falling into these things. And I would cry out to God and I would say, oh God, I can't do this. I'm so weak. I'm just a baby. God, it's not my fault. It's their fault. Look what they made me do. Look what they made me say. God. Okay, that's a baby Christian. That's a young Christian, okay. That's not a mature Christian. And then this scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:13 comes along. And God says to me, D, anything that hits you, you are strong enough to overcome. Really? Anything that happens, hits you, life, you can overcome, you can say no to. You can say no to anything that hits you. You can go through, even if it knocks you on your can, you can get up and go through it. Because the greater one lives within me, because by the grace he empowers me, all right? All right, so we can, and that's what he says the rest of that scripture, he'll provide a way of escape. All right? So, you know, I used to think there'd be all of a sudden this magical door would open up here. Pfft. And I'd walk through it. What's that movie? Yeah, that was so fun. Okay, so you know, when I read that scripture way back in the day, that's what I thought. He would provide this way of escape. Psh, magical, okay? Listen, you know what he's provided? There have been some tough situation, and he's put his love inside of me. The gifts of the Spirit. So he has provided. I was thinking, I was in the middle of the night. I was waking up going, oh my gosh, that's how I overcome. That's the way of escape. His love, his joy, the Holy Spirit empowers me to overcome, to escape. Not this. I really wanted this magical door that would open up and walk through. But this is better. All right. So I'm going to read that last scripture. And God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted before beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out then so that you can endure. Let's close our eyes and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are so big and so loving. I thank you that you have prepared treasures, blessings, rewards for those that you love. I thank you, Father, that I don't have to work at it. It's simply, I just believe you, Lord Jesus. And Father, we see and now we know that how we live our life today affects tomorrow. And we are people that want to stand before you on that bema stand and look in your eyes and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Prepared for you are treasures and rewards. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, without everybody's eyes closed, and I'm going to ask this here. If you're here today and you have never just accepted by faith and received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, today is the day. Today, God stands and Jesus stands there and says, come, come, come. And it just simply takes you saying, yes, I want to be in this family. I want to know that my eternity is with you, Father. If there's anybody here and you'd say, Pastor D, I've never asked Jesus to be in my life. I've never received this amazing gift of salvation. You raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you right now. And today's the day. Today's the day. So is there anybody? Just slip your hand up and say, Pastor D.